My name is Ted Chewy. I'm an alcoholic. I've been associated with the Greenwich Village Group and the Theater Arts Group. I had my last drink on November 2nd of 1947. It was during that hangover that I came into AA. And with the short time that is allowed, I would like, if possible, to leave with you a few of the things that have become clear to me after I had made contact with AA and with the AA program. And I am one who believes that the AA program is a spiritual program and not simply a program with a spiritual angle. But I want to consider for a moment the state, psychological, mental, spiritual state that the alcoholic usually has brought himself when he finally realizes that he has to do something about it and makes contact with AA. I don't think, to my mind, there's nothing more narrow, more monomaniacal than the life of a drunkard. You hear people compare it to infantilism, that it's infantile. Well, I'm sure they're not thinking of real infants, because an infant seems to have a much wider range of interest and is not concerned only with the next drink. But we certainly arrive at a split condition. And so many, the feeling is, and so many people that you've seen, as though there were a bag full of confetti blown down the street or a handful of ball bearings rolled across the floor. We certainly are torn to pieces and certainly in a split condition, usually. And also, we certainly are, as I feel, that alcoholism is a type of chronic suicide. We are certainly way over on the death side. And what is most important to me is the consideration of what areas of ourselves that usually come under the heading of educational or ethical or cultural, or what the spiritual areas of ourselves are violated by this narrow life of indulgence that the obsession and compulsion to drink is with us. As a matter of fact, I picture that it's as a thing that works pretty much like a distinct personality in itself. I save myself a lot of time in dealing with temptation by simply thinking of it in the medieval way as being a demon. But also, to my mind, not only are we beaten down by the actual physical torture and all the terrible things that happen to us on the outside, the loss of wives, of husbands, of jobs, and the terrible, atomized, isolated condition that we arrive at, but also the fact that all this 99, 4400 of ourselves that usually comes under the heading of the unconscious that is being violated by this kind of life, it's the pressure of all that, to my mind, that is also beating us down. And as evidence of that, I cite for myself the fact that the pain of alcoholism manifests itself so unmistakably in remorse and guilt, which generally physical pain doesn't. You can have a terrible physical pain and you don't have a sense of remorse and guilt. But that is, to my mind, the pressure of this larger area of ourselves that is also beating us literally to our knees. Now, and I picture it as though Staten Island should decide to secede from the Union, and it refused to import anything, refused to export anything. Well, you can imagine the terrible economic and financial and every kind of difficulty Staten Island would be in by setting up a little absolute principality of its own, and yet all of those problems could be solved simply by rejoining the Union. And that, to my mind, is the state we also arrive at, that this our ego becomes entirely identified with the obsession with drink and becomes a split-off thing from the totality of ourselves, and the more it resists, the more the torture and the more the pressure from the larger areas of ourselves, in addition to the actual physical torture that real alcohol does to us. I also, when I first came into AA, it became clear to me, it's often difficult for a person to realize, since our minds are so full of the negative, we are so over on the negative side, that we don't realize what resources we have, and we wouldn't know how to get them to function. This is as one finds in education, that people, nobody knows the potentialities they have, neither the teacher nor does the person themselves. And usually there's a great deal of fear associated with taking up using new instruments or new kinds of skills. But we are not only the sum total of what of all of our life until today, but we are equally the potentiality of whatever number of decades we still have left. And those resources are what I consider the spiritual resources, cultural resources, ethical resources, all of that mystery of what we call character. And certainly character is something that an alcoholic has not wanted to have any part of. I envied it in other people very much, and I considered, well, that's in their line. My line isn't character. I have other kinds of talents. But the realization that character also, and character development, is from a mysterious source. And as I believe, what is generally referred to as the unconscious, which includes, I suppose, all the things that Freud says it does, but it also includes all the things that the mystics have said it includes, and that it is not a closed circle, but that it's open somewhere in the back, the fountainhead source of ourselves that runs out into infinity. And they are the resources that usually we're either afraid of, or we have no idea whatever that they are there. It seems to me like the picture of the New York water system. If one has been up to Kingston and up in the Catskills, the Ashokan Dam and the Croton Dams and Kensico, and you could be in your own room suffering anguish from thirst, and if you didn't know that you turned that faucet, that little gadget there, that and all of that water is waiting there to quench your thirst, and if you don't know that, you'll continue in your thirst. And curiously, the water, when it remains in the pipe, corrodes and ruins the pipe. And oftentimes, the fact that we don't realize we have these resources, we don't realize that unless they flow out of us, we don't have them. We don't have anything of ourselves that belongs to the area of the unconscious until, by some instrumentation, it flows out of us. And that's what I consider the 12 steps, the suggested program of AA, is the vehicle, is the instrumentation. When it says in the 12th step, we carry this message to other alcoholics, we practice these principles in all our affairs. That is a plan of action. That is like taking up a specific instrument in order to lead out of yourself any musical susceptibility that you have. That is a form of behavior, and it says practice, and it says according to principles, which are the principles of the 12 steps. And if there's one thing that I feel an alcoholic needs, is a line for himself, one single line. Not if we are split enough when we come into contact with AA. And to my mind, the AA program provides us with that line. It's as though we were several handfuls of iron filings, and there's no magnet to which they cling and which shape the iron filings. And that's what we need. And as I say, it says practice. And it also means it provides a form or a vehicle of behavior. And as we practice the principles in that form, then the things flow out of us. It's like turning that faucet Then we begin to realize what infinite resources and what inexhaustible resources there are for us. Now, when I first came in to AA, I came to realize, well, that I'll leave it then with the thought that we only have that, and that is known in my experience as an educator, that we have only in possession of that potentiality when we find a form and a means and take up a practice by which it is able to flow out of it. Then we possess it. Otherwise, it remains there and merely corrodes and causes the kind of misery that we know, and oftentimes the periods of fluctuation that we know in AA. Well, thank you very much.